Johnny Mack, who is the DJ, producer and engineer, who's here to talk about the new single, which is coming up in a while, The Future Is Ours. Johnny has toured and collaborated with artists such as Orbital, The Prodigy, Happy Mondays, loads more. And the band is Johnny Mack, Sean and the brothers Nylon, and that's Mick and Nick Ruffalo. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yay!
All good.
Now, tell us about your view you've got at the moment.
I'm back in my old town, and I'm looking out into Scotland over the Irish Sea, so it's all good, and it's the first day that it hasn't rained in about maybe 2 or 3 weeks, so it's all good.
Yeah, it does look better. I was going to send you a picture back, actually, but it'd just be of the wall of the studio, which is probably not very good.
I've seen that for the last 18 months, I don't need to see that again.
No, you get your studio tan when you're indoors, that's what happens, you turn sort of a grey colour. So before we talk about the music, and we talk about the single The Future Is Ours, when did you actually first get involved in sort of making music yourself?
Since I was about 11, really. I went to see Depeche Mode in the Black Celebrations tour in 1985. After that, I just totally fell in love with music around that time, and that was during the Troubles in Northern Ireland, and it was an escape getting into music, and a lot of other people ended up getting involved in trouble, or indirectly or directly, you know.
Yeah.
And I went out and got a bass guitar, a friend of mine got a sequencer and a keyboard player, and we've been in bands since we were 13, and just various bands and guises of different music, you know, and then just got into DJing around 95. And went and studied music in 2000, and from there I've been hooked.
I was going to say, what is the music scene like over in Northern Ireland?
It's thriving. Like, I'm only just back now, four years ago. I had been in England for 15 years and DJing all around the world, and with, as you said, Orbital and Prodigy and Happy Mondays and Likes, and ran my own clubs and stuff, and events, and DJed at festivals now. But I've returned home 4 years ago now, and when I left, it was a good little scene, but it was very small. Now it's thriving. It's massive, like, it really is. It's as good as it ever could get, as it is in England. The only thing is the licensing laws. We don't get the late licenses like you used to, but they'll come, you know. So, yeah, it's all good. I can't complain at all.
And how did you, Sean, Mike and Nick, how did you all meet? Have you sort of known each other for years, or...?
I've known Sean since about 1999. I met Sean in a record shop in Coventry. Then when I went to study music technology, Sean was actually in my class. So we fell in with each other then again. Then he also started work in a club that I ran a night at.
He sounds like a stalker, in fact, the way you're saying it like that.
Well, Sean's a stalker, all right. He'll stalk you, all right, Sean. he likes twerking as well.
Yeah. just get that being.
Yeah, he's got a few problems, a few issues there. But yeah, me and Sean, he DJed with me then as one of my residents at my night. So we've been good friends now since, I'd say, 2000.
Yep.
The brothers, Mike and Nick, I've never met them face-to-face. I seen them jamming on a YouTube link on a friend's Facebook page. And I was totally blown away by them. Absolutely off the hook. They can play any instrument you put in front of them. They're only both like in their 20s. I sent them an email, spoke to them, and they said send us some parts. So Hashtag was the first track I was working on myself at this time. I sent them Hashtag. They sent me back some parts, which absolutely blew me away. I then sent them to Sean to let Sean hear what I had done with them, and Sean loved it. So I said, you know what, this seems like a project I should take one step further. So I asked Sean in, got the guys in, so that's the four of us. We're the core of the band. And then Sean got Melissa to sing on Adam Vibe, and the brothers got Tony Jarvis from New York, a musician as well, to sing on Hashtag. So from there, that's how we came about.
And it is about, because it's so good now with all the, like, the social media, and also you can record parts. You don't all have to be in the studio. Years ago, people would have said, like, you got to be in the studio, and you can be all around the world, and people, you can say, put a part on that, send it back, and it's done.
100%, that's what we're doing. Mm. I might lay down a beat and a bass line or a beat and a little key. Sean will then maybe add something to it. Then we'll send it off to America. They'll add their parts, send it back. Me and Sean will mix it down, chop it up, arrange it, send it off, get a vocal on it, and then it could go back to America for another part, you know?
Yeah.
But, we've never once been in the same studio at all, and we've got 12 tracks done now, and just over a year and a half, and with 3 remixes done. So, all going well.
And with being, as you're a producer as well, I mean, you're a DJ and you're an engineer, when you produce something and you are sort of sat, you know, listening through, is there a temptation to, do you ever sort of have to say, I've got to leave that, because otherwise I'm just going to overdo it? Because you're in control.
Yeah. Quite a lot. The good thing is, but I can pass on to Sean. Sean's of the same sort of thought mindset as I am musically. Mm. We've both trained, done the same thing. We both are pretty much in touch with each other musically, as in the music we like, with the backgrounds, where we come from, and our thought process and work process. So I can hand it to Sean. Mm. Sean will say, right, that's it, finished.
You know, what about
if it was just me, it might take a lot longer, because I might not do that, but Sean can put a stamp on it and say, right, that's it, done.
Yeah,
which is a good thing, because I would keep going on all you know, for quite a long time.
Weeks on end.
Yeah,
weeks on end. I was going to say, when you're in the studio, are you a gadgets person, or are you more sort of, have you got some old school stuff in there? Because I was only going to say, because I always say this to most of my guests, I've got 2 MTR-90s, which are in a storage unit, so I mean, just in case you were interested.
Yeah, God, well, you know, at this moment in time, like, I have been DJing for 15 years and running clubs and DJing all around the world, and I had really put the production on a back foot from about 2003, because I DJed so much, and I was going out on a Thursday and I wasn't getting home till Monday, and that could have been anywhere.
Yeah.
And come on Monday, I just wanted to sleep, and on Tuesday then I had to get up and sort of get my head together and look at what I had to do the following weekend. What gear I had gathered up, I then, after the 15 years, just decided one day, do you know what, this is starting to feel like a job, this DJ. I really don't want this anymore. So I upped and came to Ireland, and I didn't even look at music for over 18 months, didn't even listen to music, then just got, you know what, I'll get some new monitors, and I got some bits and bobs, I got a guitar, I got a bass guitar, I just got a MIDI keyboard with plugins, and a couple of little Volca, Korg Volca bass and beats, things like that. And I just got stuck in with that. That was enough to get me going. Like, I can use them to make my parts. And the good thing about it is, Sean's got his setup.
Yeah.
And then the guys in New York have got an absolutely amazing setup, and they can play anything. One of the tracks is not on the EP that we recorded for. I think it's called Mind Your Head.
Yeah.
Well, I can't remember exactly now if that is the name, but to be fair, we had sent the parts to them and just give them a rough brief of what we wanted sort of done. They went out and happened to be going by which what we would call a car sale would be a yard sale.
Yeah.
And I think they just picked up an old second hand trumpet and brought it home and played it on the on the track, and it sounds absolutely amazing. And that's the type of them, you know. But
yeah,
they've just got everything. They've got every instrument under something. They've got strings. They've got clarinet, bass clarinets, trumpets, saxophones, guitars, the lot. So you know, when you take the 3 studios, we've got everything.
What track would you say out of all the tracks you've ever done is the one that sticks out to you and you're most proud of? I know people say it's the latest one they've done, but is there a track for you that you think, oh, that is, you know, I can listen to that, even though it's yourself, you still listen to it and go, nah, that's really good?
Hashtag An Atom Vibe.
Yeah.
But Hashtag sort of shades it a little bit for me because of the smokiness, and it just takes me back. Atom Vibe, they're both on the same sort of part. Atom Vibe's slightly this wouldn't maybe be the right term, slightly more poppy than Hashtag would be, would just have more appeal in a way.
Yeah. Well,
Hashtag, just the smokiness of the bass clarinet and stuff like that there just blows me away. It's like stuff I was listening to 20 years ago and it still sounds good. And to eventually have got around to producing it after all them years is the one. But Atom Vibe's only about 1% behind it, really. So, you know? That's it for me, that one there.
And who would you, if you could work with anybody alive or dead, obviously if they're dead it'd be slightly more difficult, but if you could work with anyone alive or dead, who would be your number one sort of vocalist that you would put on beside, I know you've got, you know, Melissa, but who would be your vocalist if it was somebody famous that you could say, oh, I would have loved to have worked with them?
Beth from Portishead.
Yeah.
Or I would have loved to have Al Green would have been the meal of all time, like. Yeah, those two would be my two top favourite vocalists.
And when you sit down to write a track, you basically just sit down, you start going through some beats and stuff, and then you just sort of go, right, that's my section done, I'm going to send it off, and people can, you know, your guys are going to add the next bits, and then and that's how it just works. So did you ever work around the other way, the guys will send you stuff, or is it, do you start the initial sort of writing process?
Me and
processes?
Sean usually start it, just go from there. I usually just have like a little idea, sometimes samples, you know, something like I'm ripping off from a movie or something like that there, and I'll take an old sample of an old record or something and lay it down and maybe try and chop it up a little bit so it doesn't sound exactly like it, and lay it down like that, or it could just be a set of keys or just a drum beat or something. And just then I'll just send it to Sean and he'll do his little bit, and then across it goes and they just lay down. Sometimes we get back 15 stems at different instruments, they just play everything on top of it and we just take what we want from it. But yeah, it's usually me and Sean that do that process. It starts with us and then we send it over.